So this segment is called 25 on 25. Sam had this idea, and he figured P1 sort of like it when we talk behind the scenes stuff. You know, just a couple days ago was my 12th anniversary here at the station, Donnie.
Did not know that. Congratulations, yeah, man.
I was standing outside the door waiting for the Itzy's cake or the sushi.
Oh, no, Mike.
The cookies or something?
A couple cookies.
Yeah, right, right.
Nothing, did not know that, man. Up.
12 years.
12 years.
Man, it flies.
It really does, and if I mean, that's a, just about half. 1 year short of half of the ticket's existence.
I'm on year 13 at the ticket. It's I realized you were just a year after I got here.
Yeah. Hmm. So anyway, on that note, Sam had the idea. Today is October 25th, just a couple months left in our 25th year celebration on the ticket. It's been awesome. Round tables for all these things. I'll tease ahead. I think next Thursday will be a round table during the 10 to noon show about the Nasty Nestor Imbroglio.
I can't wait for that.
Yep. So I think that'll be next Thursday. If you want to tune in for that, we'll have the musers in with us. Right now, though, it's 25 on 25. I don't know what you have planned here, Sam. You just have some questions that you wanted to ask a 13-year veteran of the ticket and a 12-year vet.
Yeah, and I also wanted to get Jer, who I believe is the longest tenure. Where are you at, Jer? How long have you been here?
22 years.
22
nice.
Big years.
22 long years.
And Judo, wow, who's now been here. Have you cleared the year mark?
Jim? Yeah, July 2nd was a year.
There How about
go.
That?
So we've got a nice mix, and I'm at just over 2 years. So we've got a nice mix of experience. And the question that started this for me and kind of got me thinking on the subject was the first one on the list you have, gentlemen. The moment you finally felt like a full-on member of the ticket, this can be an on-air moment, an off-air moment, but I'm curious, when did you finally feel like, hey, I belong here, I'm a part of this big old thing?
That's a tough one right off the bat, because this is not an easy place to infiltrate, especially socially. It's hard to get the job, like, you know, paperwork and, like, get the foot in the door. But then step two is the social aspect. And I'm not going to lie, when I first started, my priority was to get the guys, Donovan included, everyone to like me. Because I'm like, if they like you off air or like you as a person, you're far more likely to be treated well on the air. And then the P1s will kind of feel that and they will sort of get on board with it. I mean, it's like if you have someone you really don't like and they tell you a joke, there's no chance you're going to laugh at it. But if it's someone you really do like, they tell you the exact same joke, there's a good chance you're going to laugh at it. It's the relationship that sort of creates your interactions. So at the beginning, that was a priority. I'm like, I wasn't faking it or anything, but I'm like, I really want these dudes to like me because that'll go a long way and maybe set me up for success here. So I went with that strategy, I suppose. I don't know if there was a specific moment. I remember the day Norm said my name on air, my full name, and I've said it before. I pulled the audio, and I'm like, well, I'll always have that. No matter what happens tomorrow or the next day, I mean, he said my full name. So that felt good, but I don't have a specific moment. Do you have anything like that?
I think my introduction to the ticket was a little awkward because it was the day Cumulus came and took over this corporation, and it was almost... They just pretty much threw me in with Bob and Dan. I don't think anyone had any warning. It was like, hey, you know what? Everyone on the bone who was working on the bone was let go. We don't want to let you go. Let's see what you can do on the ticket. And it felt, well, it was like they said like 2 or 3 days a week, which just, it felt awkward, man. And it was around that time where the Mavericks were making their run to the 06 finals. So those guys were on the road a lot and I wasn't. I was brand new. So I'm in studio while they're on the road.
On your first couple days.
Yeah, in Miami, you know, and it was, I'm in studio basically almost falling asleep because I'm like, what the hell is going on? It was really weird. But I think the first moment I really felt like, okay, I'm doing ticket things because, you know, you sit back and say, you're in the role of a Corby or a Gordon, but I am nowhere near on that level at all as far as comedy and them doing bits and all that other stuff. I had to find my own way on how to do things. And that was probably the most difficult thing to try to climb over that wall. But I interviewed Will Ferrell and we had a really, really good time. And I thought, man, I don't know about this. And we played the bit back and Bob and Dan both laughed at what we were throwing down.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, okay.
Yeah.
There we go. This is it. This is kind of what the feeling of what I need to do or what I need to accomplish in my role here, because it was fuzzy for a long time, man. I always say that Corby pretty much saved my bacon on this thing, because we had to sit down at training camp, my first training camp, and I was telling him, man, I don't know about this because this is not going the way I thought it was going. I have no idea what I'm doing. Those guys have been established. I don't know what to do. And he told me to basically shut up. They have you here for a reason. Do your thing. And it took him about a year to get comfortable. And I was in month three or four.
Right.
So just calm down. And then that kind of basically went from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Corby's good about that, too, kind of helping you out. It's new. He's a really nice person.
He
you know?
Really is. We sat by the pool for 3 hours yeah. and just talked about all this crap.
Right.
Yeah. And he really, and I didn't know him that well.
Right.
It wasn't like we had relationships with a ton of ticket personalities before I got here. We were all cordial.
Yeah.
All nice because I've been in the building for so long, but just didn't have a relationship with anyone until we had to sit down with Corby.
And what goes a long way is like the ticket stocks and summer bashes. Cause I mean, a lot of us are ships in the night here, you know, I mean, you see each other, you might mix, but you know, you don't see everybody and certainly not together. But when you're kind of backstage and just kind of hanging out at those events, that's when you, I don't know, feel sort of included, I suppose.
Right.
No, I'm with you because that's how I felt. Like, I'm still finding my way through this big old pirate ship. But, like, when we did the big photo ops at Ticketstock this year, when we're on stage and all the P1s are there, you're like, damn, this is really huge.
And yeah.
You're a part of something that's a lot bigger than yourself. Jared, Julie, anyone?
Probably Summer Bash 2001. I hadn't been with the Measers that long, and I was just in the back hanging out with Junior and Dan, and it just something just kind of clicked there, and we had a good time. I think there's some alcohol that helped with that. But
maybe a little libations?
Maybe a little bit. Lubricated.
Hey, that all helps. Julie?
Mine might have been my first e-break.
It's a good nomination.
Well, it's kind of weird to say that because, you know, you're doing something in essence that's like wrong or bad or whatever. You mess up. But for me, that was just kind of my biggest thing transitioning from TV to radio is that radio, you just get to be yourself and you just get to talk and to hear, you know, it kind of being received, at least people laughing with me or laughing at me, whatever it may be. Like, it's been really fun because
if you were on Pleasantville,
there you go. Thank
would you
Jared.
Be colored?
Trying to have a moment, Jared.
You know, it's also but, it's the 1 year anniversary of you press boxing.
Oh, that's right.
Dan, according to the Battery
I Me Too'd Dan a year ago today.
Nice, very nice.
So all those things, it's all good.
All right, so let's move on here. This is an interesting one. Person at the ticket you wish you knew better.
Boy, that's a good question.
I'd say Connected K.
The ticket, sir.
Oh.
The ticket.
Down, boys.
One of these answers
she doesn't work. I don't know. We're all cumulus. I don't know. Do you have one?
But we hang out a lot when it's the road trips, and especially training camp where you can kind of sit down one-on-one with pretty much everyone and kind of get to know them. If we're just talking anyone, and it seems weird, but Jared and I are really cool. But I don't think we've ever just sat down and said, hey, man, let's have like a bowl of cereal or something and talk or have a conversation about something like this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if I'm picking anyone, because I've always had the one-on-one sit downs with all of the hosts like you and Jake and all that, but not really Jared. And although I go in and speak to him almost every day, it's with you in the room and all that, but we really haven't had any one-on-one all these years, any one-on-one time just to sit down and hang out a little bit. So give me Jer.
Jer and I are cool. We hang out every single day and cry on each other's shoulders and that sort of thing. So
that's
we're all
squishy.
Set. It's an easy answer, but I might say Gordon only because I do things outside of work with every single person, I think. And I have at least done something. Gordon, I don't know. We've never voluntarily hung out together. And I almost had him to a Father John Misty concert because I really think he would enjoy that music. And like if he listened to it and I was excited about it and he's like, okay, we're doing it. And then he canceled like 3 hours before. And I kind of expected it to happen, you
right,
know?
Right.
But I mean, come on. He's so intriguing. He's smart. He's a nice guy. We just never had the chance to do anything, really.
See, mine was Gordon, but since you went ahead and picked him, I'll give you, because I have a tie for mine. It's Gordon, and actually Jake is the other person for me, because like I've talked to Jake some. You know, the whole ships in the night thing. But I feel like he's definitely someone that, since we kind of grew up in the roughly same areas, I grew up in West Fort Worth, so did he. And like, I think there's more similarities than differences there. And he's also just a very interesting dude in general.
He is.
Julie?
Oh.
I don't know. I feel like I know most people pretty well, but it might be, if there was someone that I've interacted with the least out of everybody, that would be Gordo, too.
Yeah.
He's just so mysterious.
He really is. All right, we got time for one or two more here, so let's try biggest, or things you wish the listener understood about the ticket that they seemingly don't at the moment. So something maybe like a misconception about the ticket that the listener had that you're like, that's just not how
I have one. Hmm. I have one on this.
Huh.
And it's going to sound bad, and I don't want it to sound bad, but
sign your name on the bottom of the screen.
I'm going to say it anyway. I think a lot of people don't realize, and this is the great and sometimes the bad thing about the station, that all of us working here together are like super, super serious buddies. Like, we all know how close Mike and I are. But you talk Jubb and Junior and Corby and everyone. We're really, really cool. So when they say some things to me, they could get away with it because they are my boys. Like, seriously. Friends, because friends can say crazy things to each other and it's all fun. The listener feels such a huge part of this radio station, and I do love it, that at times they feel they can say the exact same thing that Mike can say to me, they can, without me kind of questioning what's happening. Does that make sense?
No, for sure.
100%.
But you hear that one all the time, and they do know you. They know us. We don't know them.
They know me, but I don't know them.
Right.
So
them, it's totally normal. You're their friend, but they're not your friend.
Right, right.
So that's why they're so comfortable saying whatever that to you. It's like, who are you?
Out of all these years, that's one thing that I cannot get used to. I really can't. And 98% of the time, I just laugh it off because, hey, I get it. But sometimes it just has that question mark over my head. Like, boy, that's probably something I would only allow one of my really, really good friends to say to me without saying something really, you know, crazy back. And, hey, I signed up for the business and I get it. And we do let a lot of personal stuff out here on the radio. And I love it. I really do. But I guess that's one of the things you have to take away from that is that, yes, they feel like they know me and I love it. But it really, every now and then, it'll kind of rub me a little wrong.
One thing I wish listeners understood is the stress of what the hell we're going to talk about. Segments, whether it's on our show or the Saturday show, it's like it never leaves you. I'm doing the hard line today with Corby, yes. Right? I don't have any idea what we're going to do. And I prepare. I like to know at least kind of what we're going to talk about and have some things ready. I'm stressed about it. He just texted me. Let's see what he said. When do you meet?
You are a very over-preparer. I think that maybe that's what a lot of people will not know about you. They think because it's raw and you're wild and crazy, you are an extreme over-preparer.
Well, I want to know what...
Right.
At least have an idea what we're talking. I don't want to be caught with one foot off the merry-go-round live on the radio, you know? But, like, today's a great example. I have no idea, and I'm stressed about it. There's, 12 segments? However many it is? It's so many.
Right.
And I don't know what the hell we're going to do.
There is nothing more stressful, seriously, than having to fill in for Gordon.
Dude.
That's the most stressful thing
at this
radio station.
And is it only because of 840?
No.
For me, it's only because
840 is stressful in itself. But even the other, he sets such a high standard and a high bar that you're trying to put your own spin on things because they have you there for that reason. But then you don't want to let go of what he will do also. And maybe you're not as comfortable doing some of the things that he's going to do, but you're trying not to let that go. I'm serious. That keeps me up at night trying to figure out what to do to fill in for Gordon. Anyone else? I'm cool with it.
Well, because no one else has those hits that you have to hit. And then 840 is just brutal because we're not doing characters. So what do you do that's fun? Do something funny.
Right.
Do something for 6 minutes that's funny. It's like, I don't know. Like, we can talk and probably have a laugh and come up with some good stuff. But let's put the spotlight on you and you entertain me with funny for 6 minutes. Like,
laugh, clown.
How the hell does that, like, you know, ODEC or news, like, no problem.
That still stresses me
really?
Out also, yeah.
I'm okay with
that.
Like, those.
I tried the one character once.
What'd you do? Roosevelt?
Yeah. It's bad. Like, and I know it's bad.
Yeah.
Because the only voice I know how to do is Fat Albert. So I just made it like Fat Albert. So it's horrible. And I did it like twice. And Jer kept doing that all the time while I was doing it.
Jer's an arsonist.
It's like, come on now. You're in that... Oh, gosh, it's so bad.
Very good, Sam. Thank you. 25 for 25. We had about 10 questions.
We had plenty of questions.
Hey, we'll do it again soon.
Yes, let's please do this again. This is awesome.